This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, and it's the Relevant Podcast. If the world is still turning, I have no clue when we record this, if we're going to make it to the 19th. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Austin, Texas, author and podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What's happening?
Hey, everyone. We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to pastor, former NFL player, author, Derwin Gray. We talk to him about what the Christian responsibility is in the world right now. There's a lot of Christian responsibility in the world right now. We need to. It's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah,
we
also have. It's about a 15-hour interview. So buckle up.
Good Lord. We also have slices and your feedback. It is weird. It is weird being on the 19th, you know, making a show for the 19th, the day before a lot is supposed to happen, and not knowing, we're recording this on, what, the 13th?
I'm
just curious what they know that we don't. You know, like
it feels so weird.
Exactly. Like if this is some sort of, our future selves know. Either everything's like, hey man, I can't. The last 7 days were uneventful.
Everything calmed down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to find a way to tin it back to my old self and let them know things are getting crazy. You know, listen, all we got to do is reverse the flow of time. Figure this thing out and just figure out a way to kind of warn ourselves what we're in for. This is kind of where I've been conflicted. I mean, all you know, you guys are all parents, and you know, I've been trying to like protect my kids from events that would otherwise be like, hey, this is cool. Like, let's watch the presidential inauguration. Usually, it was not a partisan thing. It would just be like, hey, we can all kind of get together and watch a moment in history. It doesn't matter who you voted for. It's like, hey, this is a cool ceremonial thing that been happening for hundreds of years. Now it's like, I don't really know if we should be, who knows what's going to happen. It is
Can we
a
put
scary
that on a tape
time
delay?
It's
a good 5-minute buffer for the kids, you know, like to just make sure that everything's all right. Like the Grammys. Like,
exactly. It's like when a wild card walks up to accept an award, you can tell they had a little too much of cocktail hour. You're like, I don't know what the weekend's going to say now, but I want to get the kids in the other room. Do you guys, you know, kind of just, I feel like there's kind of this low-hung anxiety that's kind of been there for a while, but especially since the event, the horrible events of a few weeks ago. How do you guys deal with that sort of from a mental health perspective? Do you guys spend a lot of time like doom scrolling and trying to stay up on kind of the latest twists and turns of a lot of these scandals? Or do you put kind of mental energy into this? Because obviously a lot of it is reasonably, is outside of the control of what most of us can do. How do you guys deal with that? Letting it occupy real estate in your mind?
I probably should get paid for this, but I just play Roblox. Like I play paintball on Roblox.
Do you get most of your news from Instagram, Derek? Because you're on Instagram a lot. Is that?
I like Instagram, Twitter. I don't think I spend a lot of time doom scrolling. Maybe I do, but I'll put it this way. When I'm on social media, I don't really care about the news.
You're there for the joke.
I kind of am looking for funny memes. It's kind of my thing. Because the thing about the news, I just realized this at, I think it was a couple years ago. I'm like, mankind is not meant to know all the things that we can know now. I just don't think our brains are. And there was a time when you only knew kind of what was going on in your community. I mean, even when I was growing up, it's like if something happened in Tennessee, you know, it'd be big news, but stuff happening in Wisconsin and Nevada and someplace way, way overseas, it'd have to be really, really big for us to be aware of it. And now it's like, boom, this happened in this county over in Washington and this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to use this for entertainment for the most part.
And you wouldn't know about it till like the 6 o'clock news. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know at noon.
It's not just right in your face all the time. So I try to honestly avoid the news. And if I get stuff, I'll look and say, dang, that's crazy. And then I just kind of go back to looking for funny memes.
It's like these days, it's like if you don't kind of give yourself some sort of shelter from all this, like for me, it's like I can be totally content and happy and then see a tweet that's like, oh my gosh, the MyPillow guy just said something else crazy. And then I like get that sinking feeling of like, dude, things are nuts right now. Not only is it the MyPillow guy saying crazy things, but the MyPillow guy, the president of the United States listening to, like, this is scary. It is like, I feel like putting up sort of intentional boundaries to kind of shelter yourself from, you know, I feel like it's important, but it's hard to do, you know?
Yeah. We don't ever have the news on in our house. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, my parents watched the news every night and we just don't, I've always not wanted my kids to see it so much. And so I just don't have it on a lot, but I wake up and every morning read just on my app, the New York Times. And that's the news that I get. I'm not on Twitter. I don't do Twitter. Yeah. And that's how I kind of take in the news.
For me, I, you know, obviously we're covering stuff. So, you know, Tyler's way closer to it and team's way closer to it than I have to be. But for me, like for my mental health, I learned the hard way. I had to create those boundaries that you're talking about, Jesse. I've stopped watching cable news. If I watch the news, I watch news programming. I don't watch the opinion shows. I don't care about their talking head opinions. You know, that to me is where the flames get fanned. And I just don't want to watch that. I'll do kind of what you're talking about, Jamie. Every morning and afternoon, I will check three or four sites of varying perspectives. You know, like I'll make sure that I'm checking the conservative, a little bit more left leaning, down the middle, and then just kind of seeing what stories are covering, staying up on it. Cool. And then I'm off on, you know, I'm playing Candy Crush or something. Like, I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it. So I'm with you, Derek.
Yeah. Man. Like, it's kind of, the news is just overwhelming. If you just kind of just stay inundated in it, you got to give yourself some space. And that's why and also, Jamie, I'm with you. I don't, or Cameron, I'm with you. I don't watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox, because it's the same loop over and over again. It's just people saying the same thing over and over again. So anytime I cut it on, it's like, yo, what they lying about today? That's kind of really kind of my perspective.
So what is the best middle of the road?
I mean, honestly, there's ones like the AP and different ones that are just like AP news reporters, you know. The New York Times would be a little bit left leaning. I read that every day. Drudge Report would be right leaning.
Russia Today.
I read that every
day. If you want Russia Today.
Wait, what do you read that's right?
Russia Today.
I look at the Daily Beast every day. Like their cheat sheet is pretty good, reliable.
Daily Beast. I'm a big Breitbart fan, honestly. Like I'm like, yo, Russia Today and Breitbart, that's kind of what I do.
I know someone that used to read something called the Rapture Report.
What is the Rapture Report?
It's like an Elijah List thing, right? Like,
An Elijah List?
It's all the secret prophets telling each other secrets. Like, basically, like, those sort of, like, the prophetic newsletter business was like a thing for a while.
In the early 2000s, man.
Newsletter?
Yeah. All the prophets, like John Paul,
whoever. I don't
even know
if that's even a thing anymore.
They had like a mailing list, an email mailing list where they would send out prophetic words and stuff. And that then the intercessor groups would pray about all the prophetic words. And it was a thing, man. They'd work themselves into a frenzy.
You mean to tell me I could get prophecies in my mail?
You could when I was in college.
But as like kind of weird as that is in retrospect, you know, since then, I mean, there are people who have monetized prophecy, literally, you know, like
I just watched the video yesterday. Yes. About someone who had angels visited him this summer and then he wrote a whole book about it and you could go to his web. It was the guy who was putting the curses on everybody.
Are you talking about the dude that did the hex from the pulpit with the soft piano music?
It was awful.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I didn't see it.
Did you see this, Cameron?
No. What are we talking about?
Go on my Instagram and look at the last post I did. Well, it probably won't be the last post now, but Dr. Bob Rogers, he puts a hex on anybody that didn't vote for Trump, pretty much. So it's like, I hope you get sick. In the name of the Lord.
You lose all your money. He also wrote a book called The Visitation Book, where he was visited by angels and gave him prophecy. And you can go on his webpage and buy it if you want.
Sweet. Well, that sounds like
I'm a scammer. For that. A preacher. This is a scammer.
I will say this. This was going to be my slice, but I feel like I'll call an audible. I have another funny one that I want to talk about.
Pull us out, Jesse.
This is a study from the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania and the School of Communication at Ohio State University. I sound like I'm like closing an NPR show. Special thanks to our underwriters from the Annenberg School for Communication. But they conducted a study and they actually found that the best way to consume news and their metrics for it was, are you likely to remember the content or are you likely to share the content, is actually from humor-related news sources, not non-humorous. You have better retention and you're more likely to share it if you see it like on The Daily Show or Colbert. Onion?
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
But there's a whole kind of political humor entertainment vertical that's been around for a long time, but it's really found new life, especially with like the Pod Save America crew. That's the best way if you're looking for actual retention, humor versus straight up news. But I think kind of you can read between the lines, and I think there's also, if you know, it kind of helps in that mental health aspect too, to kind of take your medicine with a dose of sugar, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Thank you, Trevor, for that on The Daily Show.
Yeah, for real. I miss.
He's hilarious.
Over the last 5 years, I've really missed Jon Stewart. You know, like no disparaging Trevor. I'm just saying he was such an important voice. You know, like, oh man. Anyway, all right. Well, stay tuned. Up next, it's Slices. Yeah, I've never seen something quite like you. You're listening to Role Model. The song is Blind. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
All right, what do you have, Jesse?
All right, well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there is a new app that has been skyrocketing to the top of the charts in the Google Play Store and Apple. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's called Parler. Now, now wait, you may think I'm talking about Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, the app that has been scrubbed from humanity for
the internet.
Yeah, for being a breeding ground for organizing hate groups. I'm actually not referring to that Parler. I'm referring to the Parler that's spelled P-A-R-L-O-R, which people mistakenly thought they were downloading the other Parler. And suddenly, the Parler with the O
this is great.
Is back on top.
Great. What is it actually?
Well, it's existed for over a decade and has just kind of been floating out there until their name made the news and people started downloading it, mistakenly thinking they were downloading the hate Parler. It looked like a swing at a really kind of convoluted idea. This is their tagline: the first and only social talking network. It's clear as mud what it does, guys. It's the first and only social talking network. So evidently about 10 years ago, a developer had an idea for what was essentially like a kind of a chat roulette type of situation where you would I do not want to disparage whoever invented Parlor, this one, that because they're having a lot of success right now, guys. They're blowing up.
They woke up one day and were like, what is actually happening?
They were like, yes.
But it's a terrible idea. I'm just calling what it is. It didn't take off when they launched it a decade ago because it's a terrible idea. Who wants to randomly get on a phone call with somebody? That's what it does. You can go into these different topics and rooms. Like, say you want to talk.
It's Clubhouse.
So, here, for example, let's say I want to go into the VIP fan clubs room. I will randomly be on the phone with another Billie Eilish fan. Hypothetically, there aren't a lot of active users, so you're probably a couple reporters downloaded it and try it out. A few people that got on the phone with somebody, they got hung up on almost immediately. So it's a very odd app. It was a big swing. It just didn't work out, but the developer never removed it from the stores. So right now, theoretically, there's a lot of very angry right-wing radicals making random phone calls in a dated web 1.0. Like it's totally janky. It looks like a janky old like wannabe MySpace from a decade ago that barely functions. So congratulations, Parler. Your day has finally arrived. Maybe people will start using it. Maybe be like, hey man, I was actually accidentally downloaded Parlor and I got a pretty good convo in the VIP plant or the celebrity users vertical, which there is one where you can evidently talk to celebrity users. Though it's unclear what celebrities are using it. Hypothetically, if you were a celebrity and you downloaded the app, go right there because they'll plug you up with a fan. So congrats, Parler.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right. What do you have, Derek?
So I don't know if you guys know who Andrew Yang is. Absolutely you do. Because he, politician, stands for Universal Basic Income. I think that's dope. He feels like automation is gonna be the future and it's taking people's jobs. Well, he's running for mayor. So when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, that's crazy, man. He's running for mayor. Like, I rock with Andrew Yang. I think he's a great candidate.
Mayor
seems
of
like
New
he
York
has
City,
a, yeah,
right.
yeah, running for mayor in New York City. Well, he pissed off a lot of people from New York because he doesn't live in New York. He lives outside of New York. And, you know, the reason why, he says, we live in a 2-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. And so, like, can you imagine trying to have 2 kids on virtual school in a 2-bedroom apartment and then trying to do work yourself? And that kind of is odd time because that's probably a lot of New Yorkers right
life.
Now. That's kind of living that way. So it's kind of almost, it was a bad form. And I think this was, he's going to get in a little trouble.
Yeah.
Well, with the people.
And it's like, well, yeah, half of New York can imagine what that's like because that's been their life. And how beneficial would it be to have a mayor who sees the need for some sort of childcare solution because there's a legitimate childcare crisis happening across the country right now, instead of being like, well, guys, I had to get out of town. I mean, I'll run your city, but I can't live here. And I like Andrew Yang, but it does seem...
Yeah, I rock with him.
It seems so just, you know, out
privileged.
Of touch. Yeah,
privileged.
Yeah,
privileged out of touch
and
to
out of touch where it's like, dude, yeah, exactly. Everyone's struggling here because the people in power have not made any effort to solve a crisis that was thrust upon all of us, which is schools are closed, but parents still got to work. And, you know, for people that don't have childcare solutions, especially in big urban areas where, you actual physical proximity to people is a concern, it does seem like I would want my elected official to have a pretty good grasp of that situation, even if it means firsthand struggling, you know?
For sure.
Do we think he's going to win? I mean, like, I know it's early.
I don't even know who he's running against. I mean, I rock with him. I think he has some good ideas, but I don't know. That would upset me if I lived in New York. I'm like, well, dang, you know, I wish I had enough money to just, you know what I'm saying? I wish I was able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
That would take
Comes
me off a
as
little
an
bit.
Outsider.
Yeah.
Out of touch. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have, Jamie?
All right. So today's Tuesday. Tomorrow is the inauguration. Everyone ready for this tomorrow? Yes. Yes.
Well,
maybe
theoretically.
In theory.
As of last week, we're ready for this, but we'll see what's happening.
Right.
But actually, you can actually watch the inauguration right now. Tomorrow when it happens, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, they're all going to air it. And guess who's hosting it, you guys?
Who?
Our very own Tom Hanks. I was trying to think of a movie name and I could not think of him quickly. Our very own Tom
Captain
Hanks.
Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips will be hosting this, and it's going to be, they're hosting it and they're going to have musical guests, Justin Timberlake, who I am a huge Justin Timberlake fan.
JT
I've been actually
Fire.
Listening to his new song this morning. So he's performing, and Aunt Clemens, which I don't know who that is because I'm not cool and out of touch. Demi Lovato will be there. So you can watch it if you want. You don't have to be there. I wish we could always do that. That's not something new, but Tom Hanks is hosting it.
Look, I'm going to keep it real. Anybody that's thinking about storming the inauguration or the Capitol when Tom Hanks is hosting it, I'm going to personally beat you if you do that. Because if you heard America's Dad, we're
dude,
having fights.
Hold on, no problem. Hold on,
as of today, can people actually go still? I mean, is it open to anyone now?
I don't know.
Nah, Airbnb just closed.
They're
like, no Airbnb. So I think that thing is going to be locked down so tight.
But the people who the conspiracy theorists who stormed the Capitol, those are the same conspiracy theorists who believe QAnon, and they believe, those actual people believe, that Tom Hanks is a ringleader of Q.
Of the pedophile ring. The ring.
So you're talking about... Yes, dude. And here's how I found out about that. Because we posted about Tom Hanks, you know, 6 months ago on Instagram.
I remember we talked about it. And I
just made a joke about, like, America's dad says, wear masks, everybody, because he recovered from COVID or whatever. Right. He's one of the early celebrities. And the comments blew up about, y'all are promoting a pedophile. And I'm like, what? And so I literally called Jesse and Tyler and was like, what are they talking about? Yeah. And they explained to me the Q theory, that they think Tom Hanks and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are all part of this cabal with child trafficking and pedophilia. And so you're talking about, like, y'all crazy people, if you leave Tom Hanks alone, I'm going, they come after Tom Hanks. Like, they actually think he's part of it.
The crazy part about that whole, like, you believe the, you know, there's, I mean, I definitely believe there's a group of people that are really powerful that move the government in different ways. They're called billionaires, right?
Like, white billionaires.
Yeah, it's like they're called billionaires. But at the same time, like, I guess the crazy part about the whole QAnon thing, with people being like, the QAnon dudes have a legit shaman, like the guy that, that's what a shaman does, is like, I don't know what his deal is, but I'm like, why are you listening to some random guy in Florida in his basement tell y'all lies? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, there's a really great book that if people, and I feel like this book was probably published 10 or 15 years ago, but it's by a journalist named John Ronson, I love John Ronson.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, that's it.
Not to be confused with Ron Johnson.
So John Ronson, he's written a lot of really good.
Mark Ronson's dad, right?
Yeah, exactly. He produces some bangers too. He brings some fire behind the on the 808s. So John Ronson wrote this book years ago called Them. He's a journalist originally from the UK, but he embedded himself with conspiracy theorists from across, you know, the spectrum of conspiracy theories to try to understand why they believe like they do. And in fact, a young Alex Jones makes an appearance in the last chapter of the book while him and John Ronson infiltrate this place called Bohemian Grove. Have you guys ever heard of Bohemian Grove?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's sort of the ground zero for this evil cabal. And when you read about it, the actual could be Bohemian Grove. It is like, what the heck's going on there?
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, billionaires and ex-presidents and celebrities go and they worship at the foot of this owl altar and do these weird ceremonies. It is weird stuff. But in John Ronson's book, and they actually infiltrate Bohemian Grove, he goes in with now famous conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who at the time was a budding conspiracy theorist. But the book not only kind of gets to the root of why some of the people who believe these crazy things believe them, because, you know, around all of the theories, there are nuggets of easily explainable truths that they just kind of stretch out to the most extreme theories, but also sort of, you know, the disenfranchised, you know, often what accompanies people who believe in conspiracies are disenfranchisement and disillusionment. They feel like they have in some way been disenfranchised, whether that's financially, whether that's socially, whether that's in the, like, a religious, spiritual sense. And that was a common thread, whether this was a Muslim extremist who had conspiracies about, kind of certain things, or kind of right wing conspiracy theorists. In this book, it's really interesting. I would encourage people to read it if they're interested in this topic. It's called Them. And it doesn't just try to humanize conspiracy theorists, but it tries to help people understand the reason why they believe like they do, because ultimately that's the only way we can prevent this in the future, is understanding kind of the humanity behind all the horribleness and try to make people who are disenfranchised feel heard so that they can actually enter into a dialogue instead of a monologue, if that makes sense.
I think what's interesting about that is a lot of the conspiracy theorists, they always are like calling me some sort of like snowflake if I don't agree. You know, they're like, you didn't do your research and you're a snowflake. But then, like, when I'm listening to what you just said, it's like, we need to treat them like snowflakes.
And what's a snowflake?
Like, that's what people say. They're like real soft tempered, low temperament, get angry real easy. They need to feel heard. Get it out. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I guess the thing is, I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I'm just saying it's just ironic that that's their big thing, is calling people snowflakes and saying you don't, you know, you're thin skinned and all of that. But it's like, it's really, they just need a hug. Yeah. It need to be heard. Is what it's, you know what I mean?
It's become a derogatory term because every snowflake is unique, right? And so people will throw it around for people like, oh, you were told you're special. You were told you're unique. You're your own little snowflake. You know, but ironically, to Derek's point, a lot of people who levy that insult are people who feel deep senses of isolation. And right. I don't think it is... necessarily a coincidence that this uptick in extremism based on conspiracy theories has happened during a global pandemic where a lot of people are isolated and their only connection to the world is an internet connection. And I really do think that sense of isolation just underscores that sense of disenfranchisement, because the only source of communication they have is from people online. And we already know what being online and anonymity and the creation of confirmation bias, echo chambers, we already know what that does. It's just pouring gas on a fire at that point, you know? Yeah.
And to be clear, while we completely denounce as absurd the QAnon conspiracy theory about the cabal whatever, we do not belittle the reality of child trafficking rings and sex trafficking. We know that's a global crisis, and there's a lot of amazing organizations like A21 and so many others that are on the front lines fighting it. So, you know, I saw that kind of going around last night when somebody was debunking, like, or saying you're ridiculous for believing QAnon. A lot of the adherents or believers in it were like, how could you deny that children are being trafficked? Okay, listen, children,
no one's doing
do
that.
Get trafficked, but it's not by Bill Clinton and Tom Hanks. So, you know, just
And also, just to be clear about something else, you're going to clear the waters, Cameron. I'm going to clear the waters too. Everyone is a snowflake. You are unique. You are made in the image of God. You are your own person. So you be a snowflake, you little cute little snowflake out there.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Derwin Gray joins us. Listening to Aya Gloomy. The song is Micro Creature. Derwin Gray is the founder and lead pastor of Transformation Church in South Carolina. He's the author of The Good Life, which is all about what Jesus says about finding true happiness. We sat down with Derwin this week to talk about what the Christian responsibility is in the world right now and much more. Here's our conversation with Derwin Gray.
So first off, I just want to ask how the last couple of weeks have been for you all since the events at the Capitol.
I'll give more of a personal reflection. It was like I was sad for the United States of America. Like I love my country. I love Jesus, and I just found myself just sad to see these people who had been incited for years by President Trump to actually follow through on the vile rhetoric that had been communicated, not just that day, but for years. And so to see that at the human level, it was incredibly devastating. So I took a day just to really mourn and to really pray. How do we as followers of Jesus respond to that? Number one, we respond by remembering that the city on a hill is not a country, It's God's people who are redeemed in Christ, that we are to be a beatitude kind of community that is salt and light, that we are to be blessed are the merciful, for they will find mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. And so it's really a call to be the church. Does politics matter? Yes. Should we vote? Yes. However, understanding that we are the party of the lamb and not the party of the donkey and not the party of the elephant.
Obviously, something that we saw a lot of during this insurrection at the Capitol was the prominence of a lot of what I'll call Christian paraphernalia, right? So what's the responsibility of Christians right now in light of this very unholy union that's been festering for a long time now?
Yeah, so what I would say is that Christian nationalism has been a problem in the United States. And so at the U.S. Capitol, that was kind of like the baby was delivered, but the pregnancy has always been there. And so let me make sure I'm defining terms. Christian nationalism, in essence, means this, that America is divinely ordained by God, and it's a Christian nation, but not in the terms that we would understand Christian, but it's, but, you know, God, freedom, and guns, you know. So Christian nationalism has been an incredible problem for a long time, but what made it really fester up like a volcano is many of the Christian nationalists, which is oftentimes the underbelly of white supremacy, neo-Nazism, and all types of stuff, the Proud Boys. Oftentimes what happens is they're waiting for someone to normalize their dysfunction. Not everybody who has the perspective of this is our country has evil motives. Many of them are living in fear because in the majority culture, and even within the church, if you haven't been discipled the right way, you will tend to think, well, yeah, because of my ethnicity as white, well, this is our nation. And the reality is, no, it's all of our nations. But as citizens of God's kingdom, we should treat each other in a Philippians 2, 3, and 4 way. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves and look not only out for your own interest, but for the interest of others.
I'm sure you've heard the call from some leaders that now's a time for unity. It's time to move on, leave what's in the past in the past. How would you speak to these calls to just simply move on?
The way I would speak to that is like saying, it's like you go into the doctor and they find a massive cancer tumor in your lungs and say, hey, there's this massive tumor in your lungs, but don't worry about it. Just go home and get on with life, right? No, you cannot have unity. You cannot have reconciliation unless you have a moment of truth of what caused disunity and what breaks fellowship. And so there has to be this reckoning or recognizing and calling out, no, this was wrong. So case in point, when there were Black Lives Matter protests and overwhelming majority of them were peaceful, but when there were groups that started burning down buildings and doing those things. Violence is wrong. That needs to be called out. You can't have unity. Even with God, you cannot have reconciliation with God the Father through Christ until you acknowledge, hey, I'm estranged from him. I have sinned. And so for politicians, there needs to be politicians who say, hey, we have normalized dysfunctional behavior at the altar of political expediency, and I'm sorry, and I'm wrong, and we need to move forward. But that needs to happen in pulpits. One thing that I will say in minority pulpits, it's fairly normative to discuss these issues. And so what I would say, particularly in pulpits of the church growth movement and more of some of the conservative evangelical pulpits and in their discipleship, there needs to be this man, we have been political pawns for a particular kind of politics. And then also on the left, you know, that it works both ways.
And now, what would you say to people who would say something like, I'm not a fan of what happened at the Capitol, I don't condone it, but I like the guy's politics, even if I don't necessarily like all of his character. People maybe are taking offense to the idea of being grouped in with what happened in D.C.
What I would say, the first thing is eat the meat and throw away the bones, because I know a lot of good people that love Jesus who their conscience said, hey, I cannot vote for Joe Biden because of his stance on abortion. I don't agree with Trump. I don't like a lot of things that Trump does. But hey, here are some good policies. You know, we don't hear much about Al-Qaeda. We see that particularly for African Americans with the opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott. We see that he's done some great things with financial resourcing to historic Black colleges. You know, so with every political group, there are a mixed bag, right? And so for someone whose conscience says, hey, listen, I'm not for Christian nationalism, I'm not for those things, this is simply where I landed, right? Then what I would say to those folks is eat the meat, throw away the bones, and if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. But then I would also say for people on the political left who have made the political left an idol as well, right? And so I think as Christians, we have to be nuanced. And I think it's healthy that we have believers in both political parties. We get offensive and offended when our idols are toppled. And that's what we see happening in our culture on the left and on the right. But I'm called to be a part of the kingdom of God, which is going to flesh out in nuanced and beautiful ways wrapped in love.
How do we as people trying to be mindful of the times nurse that sense of justice, right and wrong, without that turning, that anger turning into a bitterness or a hatred, something that's spiritually unhealthy for us?
Yeah, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but do not sin. And the devil and demonic dark forces win when righteous indignation turns into unholy bitterness and resentment. And one of the things that I taught our staff at Transformation Church, this German word Zeitgeist, and I like to say it because it makes me sound smart. But Zeitgeist simply means the spirit of the age. And what'll happen is, as Christians, instead of relying upon the eternal Holy Spirit, we get caught up in the spirit of the age, like, look at this person, they're vile and they're this and they're that. My question for you and my question for me is, when I look condemning upon a person, even though they're deserving, how did Jesus look upon me in my sin? He looked upon me with eyes that said, I'm going to the cross. So my thing is, the bloody cross and the resurrection power gives me the capacity to see injustice, to see unrighteousness, to see racism, but that cannot make me not act like a Christian. So everybody's redeemable. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't go to jail for what they did. Yeah, totally. Here's what I'm learning. Me loving people, even though they don't love me, may not change them to love me, but it certainly will not change me to not love them.
That was Derwin Gray. Make sure to check out his book, The Good Life, and all the stuff he's doing. We're big fans. I don't wanna lose it now. listening to Sophie and Miss World. The song is Melody. It's featuring Peanut Butter Wolf. All right, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we got talking about the David Hasselhoff auction, which is, as of this recording, still ongoing. And the Kit Knight Rider car is over $1 million.
I listened and was crying laughing in the car.
Over $1 million. And Jesse, as of this recording, remember last week, the David Hasselhoff 14-foot Baywatch statue that was for sale. It had a bid last week.
Yeah.
It no longer has a bid. It's being listed as $100,000 with zero bids. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well,
they had to repost it up again.
I don't know what happened.
Shockingly, someone who's willing to bid $100,000 on a 14-foot David Hasselhoff, you know, statue
laying down.
Isn't all that trustworthy. That's a big shock to me. That would not that does not strike me as a flaky person.
It got us thinking about the weirdest purchases we've ever made. So we asked you guys for last week's question of the week, what's the weirdest purchase you've ever made? You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast and you posted on the Relevant Magazine Instagram post as well. Here's a few of our favorites.
I love John Gurley, and I don't know why he would say this is weird. He said, when I was, I was not only an 80s kid, he said he wasn't the only 80s kids to purchase this with his teenage urging. Nunchucks, ninja stars, a pair of scythes, several swords, throwing knives, and bladed throwing cards from a flea market. Dude, that sounds awesome.
He's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Is what he is. He's Hawkeye is what he is. He just went and got all of Hawkeye's tools. So there you go.
John also purchased a sticker that said, I love GRITS, which
grits.
Stands
I
for
love grits.
Girls Raised in the South.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. John. Okay.
He says he all put right. it on the dashboard of his 1990 Camaro.
Hey, the people that had the grits shirts and the people who own Big Dog it's a perfect circle. It's a perfect circle. Like, I guarantee you had a No Fear shirt in the mix, too.
All right, so Princess Librarian had bought a bidet. She's my prized possession that no one wants to hear about. She got it at Costco. So right after she went and got some eggs and you know, grabbed a bidet on the way on. toilet paper.
She's I have friends that have bidets in all of their bathrooms and love them.
Why?
Yes.
How do you dry?
I don't even like when I poop and the water kind of splashes on my booty. Like, I don't even like that feeling. So I don't know if I want just like a jet stream. Just
I don't
want
to be hosed down. But and like, do you have to towel off when you get up? Like, how do you?
They say it's cleaner.
How do you complete the transaction? I don't want to.
I don't have a wet bottom.
One,
but Princess Librarian does.
Good for her.
To be honest, guys, I'm just going to steer right around this one. If that's okay. I see something on the road. I'm just going to kind of go in the other lane for a sec. So you guys continue.
Oh my goodness, John B said that it only sort of answers it. But this year, his sister in the U.S. tried to send him, who's currently living in a Muslim country, through customs, a box of pork rinds and other bacon products, and he said it did not work.
Oh, so, she's trying to crazy. Get him killed.
In trouble.
It's what she's trying to do
for real. Oh man! All right. Well, there's more where that came from. Go check them out. Okay, it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
All right, it's been a stressful season in the news cycle, but that's really been the last 4.5 years. But it seems to be at another level right now. Earlier in the show, we got talking about our news intake and figuring out the healthy boundaries to stay informed on one hand, but also like have that balance in our lives. You guys talked about what do you play, Derek, on your phone?
I play Roblox, not on my phone, but on my Xbox. And anybody can get it in paintball, just letting y'all know. I'm a beast.
Roblox. I play Candy Crush. I've evolved over to Mini Motorways, the Apple arcade game. What do y'all do? What do y'all do to kind of clear your mind?
Well, if we're talking games, I play Toon Blast on my phone, and I'm actually really, really good at it. So I'd like everyone to know that.
There you go, Jesse.
I'm not a big game person. I don't mind.
You spend
games,
time with friends and family.
Well, no, dude, this is going to sound
lame.
He
reads the New Testament.
Yeah, I do devotions. I make notes on them, and then I get to work on my prophecy email list. I know, this sounds so lame, but I'm telling you, going for walks has been my jam lately. I freaking love just walking. You know, I'm waving to people, chatting them up in the driveway. However, I just like it. I come back, feel like a new man. Everyone should
have dogs.
Walks are awesome.
Do you have a dog, or are you just a random dude walking around?
Just walking around. No dog. Just a guy. Just a
when
guy.
When December started, walks were over for me because I do not like the cold. I'm just going to keep it real with you, big dog.
Jesse, do you walk with your spouse? Like, I've seen couples walking in my neighborhood, but if it's a solo person walking, they have an animal attached to them.
Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes. By the way, can we talk about, well, I don't. I have a whole thing about, like, I don't even know if we want to do this, but here's my problem. I'll never be a dog walker. Is because like if my neighbor's out walking his dog and I'm out, you know, I don't know, just checking the mail, whatever. They're at the end of the street. They're in the street. I'm in the yard and we start chit chatting. I have to pretend that my neighbor isn't holding a bag of dog poop in his hand. Like, are we just not going to acknowledge one of us has a bag of poop in our hand? Like, how weird is that in a vacuum? Like, hey, how about the weather? Oh, it's finally turning. I'm not going to say anything that you have literal poop in your hand. Like, I'm just expected to ignore it as if that's not just an absurd thing to do, is to walk around an entire neighborhood holding poop. I'm sorry, but I can't do it. If you're walking and holding that, don't talk to me. That's what I got to say for my fellow walkers.
I saw a comedian do a bit once about if aliens are real, if they looked at humanity, if they looked at America, it would look like dogs are the premium species because humans are their slaves who then pick up their poop after them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's, maybe that's why we're not getting into the Federation. Maybe that's one of the things.
Yeah, the Galactic Federation.
Yeah, the Galactic Federation.
I don't blame them.
Could be, yeah. All right, so for this week's question of the week, we want to know what you do to have mental health and balance in such a crazy, stressful time. We all know you love Jesus and you listen to worship music and do devotionals. Okay, so not that. The more interesting or unique things that it's just kind of your thing. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast.
In other words, don't Jesus juke us.
Don't Jesus juke us.
Right. That's right. So like, we'll share our favorites next week because maybe we can all jump in and try it out too. You know, we can try different things. It's important now to protect our mental health and have boundaries and figure out other ways to make our brain focus on other things, you know? All right. Hit us up. You can also post on the Relevant Magazine Instagram page. Well, many thanks to Derwin Gray for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Derwin L. Gray, A-Y, and all the other socials as well. Hey, before we wrap it, I want to remind you to check out the new issue of Relevant. It features Pharrell Williams on the cover and a ton of other great content. It is available for free at relevantmagazine.com. Just click on the magazine tab and there it is. Also, while you're there, sign up for our new daily newsletter. Every weekday morning, we are bringing you the top 5 most trending articles at Relevant. It's a great way to stay in touch with what's going on. And also click over on the faith section and sign up for our daily Deeper Walk devotional newsletter. We bring you a daily devotional every morning and delivered in your inbox at like 6 a.m. And also it's available at the website. Check out Deeper Walk and Relevant today over at Relevant. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
And I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you on tomorrow's inauguration
Friday,
day,
maybe.
So hopefully we'll see them on Friday. Hopefully, Godspeed, everyone. Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
The parlor with the O is back on top.
Relevant Podcast Network.